Thank you, Pastor Sheila. If you're a guest, I am Pastor Kirby. I am one of the pastors here at Living Hope, and it's great to be with you. And as she said, we are wrapping up our series called How to Live with Confidence, and we've been looking at Romans chapter 8, and we believe that within Romans 8, every verse in there talks to us about how we can increase our confidence and faith and how we can live a life that's not hanging our head in shame, but it's going through life in confidence in who we are. But we realize that oftentimes when we get to this place of not in confidence, that we put on a mask and we start to become somebody we're not. We start to act in a certain way because that's it helps us hide. It helps us put ourselves aside so people won't see the true us, or they don't understand who we really are, and we get scared. So we've been spending several weeks on this, and we've been talking about how to increase it, how to get our confidence up in faith and in Jesus. And one of the greatest thieves of confidence is fear. One of the greatest thieves of confidence is fear. All of us are afraid of something. I don't care how macho you are, how amazing you are. Every single one of you is amazing in some way, but we're all afraid of something. When we're pushed to it, we're a something. Women, you're pretty easy and open to say, yeah, this is what I'm afraid of. Guys, we tend to have a little more arrogance and pride, and we don't like to admit the things that we're afraid of, right? So women, you're awesome. Men, we got some work to do. But we're all afraid of something. I have a very great respect of heights. If it doesn't bother me, I don't bother it, right? We have things we're afraid of. And oftentimes that sounds silly, but there are things within this life that we're afraid of that limit our confidence in faith, right? And here's the catch though, fear is normal, right? And oftentimes we hinder ourselves and think, I shouldn't be afraid of this, it's only a little spider. Some of you are like, ah, right? I shouldn't be afraid of this because it's only my brother or sister. But oftentimes we get afraid, but it's not wrong. And oftentimes we're fearful about what others are going to say about us, that we limit ourselves and we don't allow ourselves to be that original masterpiece that God has called us to be. See, he called us and created us as an original masterpiece. There's nobody like you. There's nobody designed just like you that can do things just the way you do it, the way that God created you to be. And when we don't live in confidence, when we live in fear, we don't live out that masterpiece that God created, and we short that. Now, a lot of times in sermons, myself or somebody else, you've been doing this for long enough, we kind of give you some things at the end of the service to kind of learn and take home, and some tools and some tricks to grow your faith. Today, I want to kind of be, I just want it to be a celebration about who God is. And the fact that when we live with confidence, God can help us conquer anything, that we can get through it. Yeah, I'm still going to be afraid of heights. But God can help us conquer fear, and our faith in Jesus can grow. And so I want to paint that picture of God. And if you missed anything in this series, I want to remind you, you can catch up online at our website. You can get all caught up there. But a recap real quick. Week one, we use the illustration that oftentimes when we lack confidence, we hang our heads, right? We just walk with our heads down. We've seen people like that. And we walk around with faith that is filled with shame and condemnation. And we're living this life that is just down, right? But we said that Jesus forgives you. That when we call on Jesus and follow him, he forgives you. He forgives you, wipes the slate clean, and he forgives you, and you can hold your head up high, and you can walk in confidence in who you are and who God is. And week two, we said that we can live with confidence because the Bible says that if you're a Christian, you are a child of the King. You are a child of the King. You're not just a creation anymore. You are now a child. He loves you. And if you understand that, you can live with confidence. Week three, we talked about that we can live with confidence because in the midst of pain, God is in control. And because of that, we can live in confidence. Last week, we said you can live with confidence because God has made it clear that he's working behind the scenes of your life to bring you to a deeper faith with him. Some of us may be here this morning and says, I'm just here to see a friend. I'm here just to get a good cup of coffee. But the reality and the truth is God is behind the scenes leading you to this place, to this moment, to this time. He's working behind the scenes to do something in your life to change you, to be more like him, maybe to have an encounter with him for the very first time. And our confidence can start to increase and we can celebrate life. So when we get our arms around all of those things, the confidence in faith grows tremendously. Now, one thing I never said in this whole series is that any of this is going to be easy. There are many things in this life and many things that about increasing our confidence that are going to be incredibly challenging. And we've been wearing a mask and we've been doing and putting on a face for so long for so many people that it's not going to be easy to take that mask off and live how God truly did it. So that's a summarization. So we're going to continue in Romans 8. And we're going to pick up Romans 8 down in verse 35, if you're following along. There's a Bible in the chair in front of you. You are welcome to take that home with you. If you don't have a Bible, you are welcome to have it. We have the YouVersion app. You can open your own Bible. But we're going to start in Romans 8, starting at verse 35. And it says this: Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Okay, so that's our passage for today. And we're going to look at three things. And I want to look at three things within this passage that can increase our confidence. We're going to ask a very big question. We're going to find an awesome answer. And we're going to see an incredible result. So we're going to ask a question, we're going to get an answer, and we're going to see the result. Those are the three things that we're going to frame it up. First, the first big question is this: what are you afraid of? Name it. When you think about God, when you think about faith, when you think about Jesus, what are you afraid of? Or heights or whatever. It can be any. Can anything separate us from the love of Christ? What are you afraid of? Are you afraid of spiders? Are you afraid of male pattern baldness? What are you afraid of? What are you afraid of? Name it. We own our fear. We own it and we recognize it. Are you afraid of living for Jesus? Are you afraid that if I say I'm a follower of Jesus, I'm going to get ridiculed? Somebody's going to call me a hypocrite because of my past or the things I'm doing right now. What are you afraid of? When people go on a missions trip, oftentimes one of the things they'll say towards the end of the trip is, I'm afraid to go home. Why in the world are they afraid to go home? Back to their own bed, their own food, their everything. Well, the reality is when they're with a group of people on a missions trip, there's strength in numbers. So there's a whole group of people that they're with all on the same task, all in the same purpose. They're all within following Jesus and encouraging each other and challenging each other. And frankly, it's a lot easier to be a follower of Jesus thousands of miles away from home than it is in your own backyard sometimes. And so people get afraid to go back home into that context, into their schools, into their jobs, into their families, because that is when they have their mask on. So how do I go back into that context? How do I go back into the real world when I feel like I'm completely alone? When I don't have that support system? When I'm back with those people who will ridicule me? See, those are natural fears. They're very natural. People who have been in prison, people who have been in rehab share this experience a lot. How do I, when I go back into my social circles, how do I avoid the traps? It's a very real fear. And I'm sure you've all got fears that are very real as well. So what I want to do, I want to show you how practical the Bible is. The Bible can be very practical, and in this passage alone, it gives us many fears that I think we all struggle with on some level. Right? Let's look at these verses. The first one says, shall trouble separate us from the love of God? See, the word trouble there is stress. It's you're stressed out. And the question is like, does God not love me anymore? Or, I'm so stressed out, does God not love me? It says, then it's hardship. The word there is narrowness. It's like a pressing in, right? It's collapsing. The world feels like it's falling apart on us. Does God not love me now? Because it's just, everything's falling apart. Next, we talk about persecution. And what I want to say here, the definition is like a ridiculed minority. Now, I'm gonna make a blanket statement, and it's an assumption, but that the majority of us in here are followers of Jesus. Okay, that's in my assumption that I'm going to work with. The majority of us in here are followers of Jesus. Now, the challenge is tomorrow, you're going to go to your school, you're going to go to your job, you're going to go somewhere, and the environment that you're going to be in, you're going to be in the minority if you are a follower of Jesus. If you're a disciple and a follower of Jesus, you go into that context, you're going to be the minority as opposed to the majority. And so people aren't going to understand sometimes the decisions you make, the words you use, the way you live your life. And there's going to be maybe some sort of rejection or that persecution going on. It says, will famine or nakedness separate you from God's love? Another way of saying this or addressing this is money matters or just real life, just day-to-day stuff. A lot of us have financial burdens. A lot of us have financial cares that stress us out, that worry us, and it creates this thing in our lives where we can't live out in confidence because we're so focused on the financial. Next is danger or sword. It's that threat of violence. Right? These are very real fears, and the Bible addresses each one. They're very real that we often have, and it paints this mask on us, and we can't live to who God truly is. All right, so that's the big question. Next, we're going to be talking about the awesome answer. Here's the awesome answer to the question. You're a super conqueror. I don't really care if that sounds cheesy, because it does. Can we just acknowledge it? It sounds cheesy. But I don't care because the reality is the Bible says that you are more than conquerors through Jesus. Verse 37, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. So you acknowledge your fear. What is it? Write it down. Here is my fear. And the Bible says you're a super conqueror. Focus on that phrase, more than conquerors. We just finished up here a few weeks ago kind of doing some Halloween festivities, right? We get all dressed up and take the kids out, and some of us, no matter how old we are or not, we still like getting dressed up and going out and having a good time. And so we celebrated some Halloween festivities. And I would argue that no matter how old you are, whether you bought your costume or made your costume, the moment you put that on, part of you takes on that character. Right? No matter who it is, it's like you get the opportunity, and that's why we like Halloween, I think. We get the opportunity to be that person or that thing. So you dress up, there's a 40-year-old man dressed up as Spider-Man. You know you want to shoot webbing out of your hand. You know you do. So you're walking around going, right? I mean, it's one of the greatest times to be a parent because you can actually be that with your kid, and nobody will laugh at you. Right? That's what we like to do. I remember there was a year my brother and I each had some ninja costumes. His was blue and mine was red. And so we'd walk around being ninjas and we'd be really stealth, right? And getting the bad guys. There's something about it that when we put that stuff on, it changes us. When we get a new pair of shoes, I'm like, oh, I can run a lot faster with these, right? It changes who we are, and we put this costume on, we clothe ourselves with this thing, and it changes who we are. The Bible says that we put on a new clothes when we follow Jesus. It changes who we are. It says we are clothed with righteousness. With everything that is right with God, we put on ourselves. And are we going to reflect that, right? When we come to that place, and then a mission trip, and our coworkers and our friends says, hey, we're going to go out, we're going to go get drunk, or we're going to do this. And you say, no, I'm, that's not really about me. Because you're wearing different clothes, you have a different identity, you are clothed with righteousness if you're a follower of Jesus, right? You are a super conqueror. And temptations are coming all the time in all different shapes, no matter how old you are, from 10 to 100. Temptations are a daily thing. And we've been talking about this for 5 weeks. We're in week 5, and some of you are like, I'm sick of hearing about this. But here's the thing that we need to understand, is that we can conquer. Here's how we can be a super conqueror. We can conquer it, that fear, because you are forgiven. You can conquer that fear because you are a child of the King. And you can conquer that fear because in the midst of pain, God is working things out. And you can conquer that fear because God is working behind the scenes of your life to make you more like Him. And you can conquer that fear. So you've been given the question, you've been given the answer. Now, here's the result. Because you're a super conqueror, the incredible result is this. You can live totally confident. You can live in confidence in who you have. You don't have to be a fake. You don't have to put that mask on. You don't have to try to be somebody for your family, try to be somebody else for your job, try to be somebody else at church, try to be somebody else for your kids. You don't have to do that anymore. You are a super conqueror. You don't have to be a carbon copy. God created you just as you are. And Paul in the Bible listed some of these things. He listed those fears that we have, but he also said this. He says, I am convinced that neither death nor life will separate us from the love of God. Nothing can separate us from that. We don't have to be in fear. Many of us fear death. As we get older, we start to think about it more. But many of us fear that. If when I die, is God going to forgive me? And we have this fear that overrides us, right? And we lack the confidence. A long time ago, there was a guy by the name of Polycarp. It's kind of a weird name, probably not naming our kids that anymore. There's a guy named Polycarp. So let's back up a little bit. There's Jesus, and Jesus had a follower by the name of John. John was a disciple. Jesus walked with Jesus all the time. When Jesus died and rose again, John continued to preach the message of Jesus, of grace and hope and mercy. One of the disciples and followers of John was Polycarp. Okay? Long after John had passed away, Polycarp was still around, and Polycarp was one of the key leaders in the thriving of the church of Christianity throughout the region. And the leader says, I know what would stop this movement. I know what would be a threat. If we can get Polycarp to deny his faith, if we can get Polycarp to say he doesn't believe in God, that'll stop all this Christian stuff. So they say, Polycarp, here's what we need you to do. They capture him, says, Polycarp, burn incense to Caesar and deny your God, and we will let you live. Otherwise, we're going to have to burn you at the stake. Polycarp says, you know what? I don't need your nails. And historians say that Polycarp literally stood in the middle of the fire with nothing holding him there. And the historians say that he died with a smile on his face, and he looked his accusers right in the eye, and his lips had prayer on his lips. The people, the leaders of that day says, if we can get rid of Polycarp, if we can knock down Polycarp, then Christians will stop. The problem is, it's not based on Polycarp, it's based on Jesus. And the movement of Jesus and the movement of the church and Christianity thrived and exploded. And people came to a relationship with God because of Polycarp's witness, of being burned in the fire for his faith. These guys wanted to destroy it. They wanted to destroy everything, but they said, here's a guy who will stand it, and he will be confident that death will not separate him from God. Another fear listed, it says, neither angels nor demons can separate us from the love of God. I can be confident in what isn't seen. We talked about that there are things behind the scenes of our lives. We said that there are things, God is working behind the scenes. There's also, we recognize there's a spiritual battle. There's an evil working behind the scenes for your life. But we can be confident that all of that stuff, if you are a child of God, if you are a follower of Jesus, you can be confident in who he is. That all of that stuff behind the scenes, God has got under control. Look what it says in Colossians chapter 1. This includes you who were once far away from God. You were his enemies, separated from him by your evil thoughts and actions. Yet now he has reconciled you to himself through the death of Christ in his physical body. As a result, he has brought you into his own presence, and you are holy and blameless as you stand before him without a single fault. Like I said earlier, when we put on Jesus, we clothe ourselves in righteousness, we are looked in his presence, we are looked at through his eyes. We are seen as blameless. We have that super conqueror costume on. And that's who God sees when we're a follower of Jesus. We are a child and we can be confident in what is not seen. The next one, I can be confident in an uncertain future. It says neither the present nor the future. I can be confident in that uncertain future. This past week, we went to the polls and voted to put people into a public position. Several of you have big decisions in your life. Some of you are welcoming a new child. Some of you are going to say goodbye to a loved one. We all have these things in our lives that are going to change us. But the deal is, we don't really know what's going to happen in the future. We can plan, we can do our best, we can vote, we can do all this stuff, and we can hope, but we don't really know. Look what it says in Proverbs 16. We can make our plans, but the Lord determines our steps. So we don't really know. Plan all we want, vote any way you want, but you truly don't know the future. And sometimes that's scary, sometimes that terrifies us, and we don't have the confidence to go through it. But there's nothing thrown at us that God can't use for his good. The next thing we see, it says, nor any powers. Nor any powers. Now, we already talked about the spiritual powers. We talked about the behind-the-scenes spiritual stuff. So here we're talking about the human authority, right? The human authority, and we can have confidence in the face of that. I can be confident in the face of human authority. If at school they say, I can't pray, is God not going to hear my prayers if I pray at school? No, you can pray at school and God's going to hear your prayers. If my chosen politician doesn't get elected, does that mean everything's going to fall apart? No, it's not. Everything's going to fall apart. God's in control. We have confidence in God, not the human authority. In our world, God is still king, and God cares for us more than any other human authority ever could. Next, God says, nor height, nor depth. My life is always in his hands. No matter how high you go, no matter how low your life gets, you can be confident that your life is in God's hand. The Bible makes it clear, basically saying you can be confident in anything. There's nothing that can separate you. No creation can separate us from the love of God, right? It says nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Nothing, no one, no friend, no peer group, no politician, no family member, nothing can separate you from the love of God. That's encouraging. You know, it's kind of funny. So one of the many, many jobs I've had over the years, I've worked in several restaurants, several service industries and things like that. And you always have that one kid who you kind of want to wring their neck because they're disrespectful and rude and stuff. And you're just like, what are you doing? Right? But that kid lives in confidence because they know who's in the driver's seat of their life. And you look over and mom or dad or uncle or somebody who's in charge really kind of just has a short fuse or doesn't matter. And so this kid says, and you know, you want to wring their neck, but the kid says, Dad, they did this. And you know, they're going to like pound him or something. You know, it's like, get pencil. I'm like, oh, back off. But that kid lives in confidence because they know who's in the driver's seat. Okay, you get the idea here? How many of us are putting God in the driver's seat of our lives? How many of us live in the fact and confidence about who's actually in control of our lives? Some of us have God in the passenger seat because we can't let go. Some of us just stick him in the back seat. Some of us kind of put him in the trunk. Others of us will keep him in a trailer and just bring him to church once a week. Put God in the driver's seat of your life. Live in the confidence about who he is and how he is going to bring you through. We can have confidence that nothing is going to separate us from the love of God. Quit being a fake. Quit being a carbon copy. Be who you are designed and created to be because nobody else can do it. God is going to use you and mold you and shape you for such a time just like this in such a place just as it is. You can live in confidence when you do that. Would you pray with me this morning? Father, thank you for the opportunity to serve you in it's not always easy because we've got pressures, we've got influences, we've got, and we try to encourage our kids to be you. Stand up to the bully. Don't be the bully. Be you because you're special the way you are. But as we get older, God, I still struggle with this. That I worry that, you know, people are going to think I'm some, just that holy roller, or they're going to look at me as hypocritical, or they're going to look at me as somebody who is just, I don't know. You know, because we talk about this a lot, but God, help us to live in confidence in our faith. No matter where we're at, maybe today we're here and we're just trying to figure this out. Maybe we don't even know what you're doing. Maybe we've been following you for a long time, and no matter where it's at, there's a level of confidence that we need in you. Thank you so much for that reminder and encouragement that when we follow you, when we are a follower of you, when we're a disciple of you, that nothing can separate that love. We look around this world and we see these fires and there's another shooting. There's fear, there's war, there's hate and anger. There's racism, there's violence. There's a lot going on. And it scares me so many times. But God, help me to live in confidence that you got it. Sometimes I don't understand and I don't see it. But I want to be confident in you because nothing's going to separate that love from you. Jesus, I thank you for the time this morning that we could gather together. We can learn, we can grow, we can have an encouraging word, we can enjoy that nice cup of coffee with each other. Thank you for that. Father, we give you this morning, we give you this afternoon and our conversations and our time, and help us to go once we leave this place. And we recognize that we might be in a context or a setting where we're not surrounded by a bunch of other believers of you, that we would be confident enough to live our faith out in you, that we'd not put on a mask just to save face in a certain setting. Thank you, God. Amen.